We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
The good news for the Eagles is everybody was there yesterday for mandatory minicamp, including our boy Brandon Lee Gouton from Bleeding Green Nation. He's joining us right now here on Birds 365 BLG. You can follow him on X and all the platforms at Brandon Gouton and read all his work at bleedinggreennation.com. BLG, how you doing, brother? Post-mandatory day camp, I'm calling it.
Yeah, funny to have just one day and a little, you know, short of a spring schedule for us in terms of being there out on the practice fields for just 3 days. But at least we got to see something, and now it's over.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a very good spring, at least, as you mentioned, very short, small sample size for us. But I think it was a very sharp spring for Jalen Hurts. But yesterday, and I think that he finished it up, it wasn't a lot of ball barely hit the ground when Jalen was out there, which I think is a little bit different. You and I were talking about that at one point where I think it was, you know, he's not the greatest practice player, hasn't been. And he looked like a good practice player this spring. But the defensive guys, Kaylee Ringo, Jalix Hunt, some of the young guys really stood out to me yesterday. And, you know, maybe I'm getting a little bit more positive on those two particular players. Where were you on those guys?
Yeah, I'm high on Kaylee. You know, I think we saw some flashes throughout practice and the preseason games last year, even dating back to his rookie year when he got to play there for a little bit. Like, I thought he looked good. And the thing with him has always been, like, he's extremely young. He was, what, 20 when the Eagles drafted him?
Youngest player in the NFL when he was drafted, yeah.
That's crazy. He's 22 right now, turns 23 in a couple weeks here. So, you know, I'm expecting him to round into form here and ultimately win that job. Making plays on the ball has not really been an issue for him to me. So, you know, I'm not shocked that he did that on Tuesday's practice, but still good to see nonetheless. Then with Jalix Hunt, I think the cool thing about him standing out in yesterday's practice is, like, didn't even mean to be watching him at times, and he just kept showing up and kept showing up. And that's typically, I think, a pretty good sign, especially for a pass rusher. He just kind of, even dating back to last year, later in the season, I just remember there being plays where maybe it wasn't even him, you know, getting a sack, but making a tackle downfield where he's just around the ball constantly. Like, he shows up, and I think that's, you know, a really good sign and portends well for him.
Yeah, it seems like he has all the intangibles needed, too, to kind of get to his potential. And then the other thing I love about him, BLG, is I think his history, like playing safety at Cornell, I think that suits him so well for playing in a Vic Fangio style defense. He just knows more about the overall defense, and then it gives him the skill set to be able to do the different things that Vic wants him to do. I got high expectations for Jalix Hunt, BLG. Maybe they're too high at this point, but they're growing rapidly the more I listen to you guys talk about him too.
I mean, I think people should be excited. I think the personality is a big factor too. I think he brings juice both on the field and off the field to this team. And yeah, they be in the background too, from a standpoint of he's just so new to the position and raw, right, relatively speaking. You feel like there's untapped potential there with him as a 24-year-old.
I you know, I mentioned Jalen, so I want your thoughts on Jalen, but I also have to mention Kyle McCord, because damn, I realize it's 13 reps, but when you see a young – and we've seen some young quarterbacks, BLG, down to Clayton Thorson and Carson Strong, who were just overmatched over the years. This guy processes. The ball comes out quickly. That's just so rare with a young quarterback. I'm very excited about Kyle McCord. I think he's going to be – now, it's not going to be here. I'm not trying to – create some kind of controversy, but I think he's going to ultimately be a very good backup quarterback, and I think there's a slight chance that he turns into a starting quarterback in this league simply because now you have to play a certain way. He's not going to give you off schedule stuff, but how many, the ball comes out. It's amazing to me because it's so rare with young quarterbacks. I still talk about Justin Fields. Guy's got all the talent in the world. He processes with a sundial. And McCord, the ball's coming out on time. I love it.
Yeah, the throw he had to Nick Muse there for a touchdown in the end zone. I mean, that's just like an eye-opening kind of a throw for a rookie to be making, certainly a day three rookie who sticks it in there, no fear, has courage and conviction to make that kind of the pass to a guy, you know, like Nick Muse, you know, isn't like, I mean, maybe he's better than we all think, but, you know, he's certainly a down the depth chart.
I want to see him get some second team.
Right? I totally agree with you, John, but, you know, not AJ Brown out there. So, like, it's just, it's really incredible for him to, I think, even attempt that kind of throw, to have the confidence to do that, a good sign. And yeah, if he develops, we'll see. You know, maybe you trade Tanner McKee, not for this year, I would think, but next year. You know, as he goes into a contract year next season, and then you can get something for him, even though the Eagles have like 50 billion draft picks already. And then, you know, maybe you turn the quarterback two job over to Colin McCord at that point.
Yeah, it could be good. BLG, spring work is now done, brother. We got 5 or so weeks or something, somewhere in that range until training camp. There's two positions on the defense that I think are worth being somewhat concerned about, mildly concerned about. It's edge rusher and it's the secondary, wherever you want to go, either the corner spot or the safety spot. After consuming spring work, which one stood out to you as being more of a need, maybe a guy they need to add a guy to the room or could be a bigger issue this year? Which one do you think is in a worse position going into training camp?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I would say, you know, you can only get so much from the edge rushers. Obviously, we just said Jalen Hunt looked good, but, you know, it's limited just because of the nature of the practice setting. But I guess I would go safety from a standpoint of, like, I'm not saying I'm panicked or I'm worried about the other spot next to Reed Blankenship, but to this point, and again, three spring practices, such a small sample size, haven't seen anyone, like, really step up and earn that job. I thought Sidney Brown had some struggles in coverage yesterday, or at least he was around when Dallas Goedert was making a catch or someone else was meeting Harrison Bryant.
I don't know if you saw. Do you know who blew the cover? There's no way Smile Munden's one-on-one with Devontae Smith. I there's got to be a blown coverage there.
I heard Bo Wolf say Andre Sam was in Andre at that Sam. Point and shaded over to that side of the field. So yeah. It might have been him. Andre Sam, who's gotten, by the way, speaking of safety, like Vic Fangio gave a shout out to Tristan McCollum last week. But I would say Andre Sam has taken more first team snaps with the defense.
Yeah, he's gotten some. Everybody, Lewis Cien's gotten some. Mm-hmm. They're clearly rotating through everybody.
Yeah. And I don't think any of those guys have like really like seized that. No one's like especially stood out so far.
Yeah. Makuba, though, I'm impressed by that's the first time I saw him in a dime inside on a dime snap at one point, which is the first time I said maybe I missed it before. And that harkens back to his time in the slot at Clemson. So we're getting to see that cross training, I think, starting a little bit. Mac McWilliams was in the slot. That's the first time I saw that. So I think we're seeing some of that with the defensive backfield. But I just think McCoob is the type of safety Vic wants. Mm-hmm. Like, I would be very surprised if he's not the week one starter. Now, maybe he flails from there, and they have to shift and go to probably Tristan McCollum because I think Vic's comfortable with him. But that's the way I see it going. Do you see at least the sentiment of trying to get Makuba ready?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, he's the guy that was drafted when Vic Fangio was part of the team as opposed to Sidney Brown, who was not and clearly didn't have Vic Fangio's trust last season and was behind both Tristan McCollum and Avonte Maddox, especially late in the year there when he had an opportunity to play more. So, yeah, I think Makuba still, to me, is the front runner for that job. But, you know, there's so many things that could happen in terms of the other guys there. Maybe it's Andre Sam. I think less so likely to be Lewis Cien, Just didn't really see much out of him, and I think he got fewer first team reps than those other guys.
No, he was definitely last of the
And then you know, if they sign someone at some point, if no one stands out, then I think, you know, they look to the maybe Justin Simmons option if they have to.
Obviously, there's context to it, but boy, you know, Zach Bond sat out with general soreness yesterday. So it was Jeremiah Trotter Jr. and Smile Mundon as your first team linebackers. Now, Jahad Campbell's coming probably in August at some point. N'Kobe Dean's going to be back probably in season. So, I mean, it's going to get better. But when you see Zach Bond sit out and you go, oof, and then Lance Dixon is your top backup at Dallas Gantt. Do they need to add an Oren Burks type body to that position just in case?
Yeah, it would have been nice if they could have kept actual Oren
Burks. I know. I know.
I think it's tough, you know, to be down. If you're down your top three players, which they are basically at that position, at any spot, then, you know, it's not great. Hard to make that work. They will if these guys aren't getting healthier as they expect. But, you know, we did see Jahad Campbell at least take part in some position drills. So, you know, maybe a step in the right direction for him. See if he can get it back on the field maybe sooner than the, you know, August. When Vic Fangio says August for Jahad Campbell, that's pretty.
Yeah, it could be August 1st. Could be August. Yeah. You know,
that's what I mean.
Yeah,
August, right. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
August 1st would not be like the worst thing in the world.
No,
August, you know, 30th or whatever. Like that's a that's a
yeah. That's after all there. The preseason game. One of them's before all the preseason games at the start of camp. One's at the end of it all.
Yeah, but so, yeah, if you think about it, training camp's probably going to begin July 22nd. Now, I'm not sitting there and saying Vic's looking at the calendar, but he's generally very honest, as you know, BLG. And to me, when he says August, it's probably not August 1st for that reason. Because, you know, if you're that close and maybe they're going to hold you out for a week.
Right.
I don't know. I'm guessing mid or late August would be my best guess. And then it becomes a little bit more concerning because we saw, and you make the comparison with Cooper last year, was out with a hamstring, basically missed about 20 days, I think it was. And Vic didn't feel comfortable playing him until after the bye in week 6, basically. He was playing, but not in a significant way. Now there's probably going to be more need at linebacker. So that factors into him. You know, maybe they're trying to get him on the field as a situational pass rusher. So maybe there's more need and that creates more urgency. But I do think it was positive that he was doing some stuff, at least. But boy, I look at that timetable for that surgery. It's touch and go. I mean, he's a young man. He's a great athlete. But when you have surgery, it needs time to heal. And the Eagles have generally been very stringent about that. Like Sidney Brown felt great last year. He kept saying, I feel great. But they held him out. Little bit concerned about him being available for week one. Where are you on that scale?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say with I mean, I think he could be able to ready to play, but like you said, with the Cooper DeJean situation, just not sure Vic is ready to fully trust him at that point. And then N'Kobe Dean, you know, like same thing. Like I think that's going to take. I think he's going to start the season on the PUP list.
Yeah.
And given the way that recovery goes for that injury, and the fact, you know, how they handled Sidney Brown last year, and that's a valuable tool to have. You know, to use the PUP list to save a roster spot there for you a little bit, not rush the player. So, yeah, that's tough. If you have Zach Bond there, at least you feel, you know, okay, good. And I think it's encouraging to see Jeremiah Trotter Jr. kind of just be trusted to be that top guy. Like they haven't been rotating him like they are.
Not at all, yeah.
So that seems like, to me, it would be a good sign that they like him and want him out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be interesting. BLJ, what's your confidence level on Kelee Ringo? What did you see from him in the spring, and do you feel like he's going to be ready to take on that starting role this year?
Yeah, I do feel like he's going to be ready. I do feel confident. You know, he has the size, obviously, and the tools there. Just, you know, has to prove it more of the experience. But I think he's going to be a good starting quarterback for this team. It's kind of, you know, Eagles fans are spoiled with how well Quinton Mitchell and Cooper DeJean played as rookies. And I don't know that he's on that level. I don't know if he's like a Pro Bowl, All-Pro kind of player. But I do think he's a starter in the NFL. I think we've seen enough to feel good about making that projection here. And, you know, maybe, I don't know if this is apples. I don't know if it's quite apples to apples, but maybe you can expect something of like what you saw from Isaiah Rodgers, you know, last year, somewhere around there in terms of what he can be. Maybe more, but I'm thinking of setting a baseline, you know, of a competent player who can make some plays on the ball and, you know, be a good starter for this team.
By the way, it is official. Eagles will report on July 22nd. So the first practice will be July 23rd. So
is that they confirmed that now?
Yeah, it was at the bottom of the ticket email. So tickets go on sale June 12th.
I think they have an open practice in there too, right? Or a public practice to the public, August 10th, I think it is.
Yep.
Somebody texted me about it.
Yeah. So, training camp's official. A little bit earlier, as we all speculated, because the first preseason game is a little bit earlier. So they just adjusted that. Edge defender. I want to talk about two things about edge defender. I ran it by Mike Gill earlier. I want to run it by you. Mm-hmm. Is Howie zigging when everybody's zagging again? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking at Trey Hendrickson. I'm looking at TJ Watt. They both won $40 million. And, you know, Howie's going with young guys and cost-effective guys. As he looked at that landscape and said, you know what? We could probably get similar production. Yeah, he went through the Bryce Huff thing. Didn't work out. He'll probably get more production than what. And Lane Johnson, the second part is, when he was asked about the edge defenders, the first name out of his mouth, maybe it's just the first guy he thought of. Maybe I'm putting too much on it. But it was Uche. And Zach Bond mentioned Josh Uche yesterday as well. That's two All-Pro endorsements in one day for Josh Uche, who I haven't talked a lot about. But should we start talking more about Josh Uche and is Howie zigging when everybody's zagging at edge defender?
Yeah, especially noteworthy, I think, when Lane says it unprompted like that, or he's the first guy that Lane mentions there. So definitely keep an eye on that one. I don't think we saw a lot out of him in the practices, but, you know, again, small sample size of three. And Ezra's just going to do so much there. But, intrigued to see what he can do. In the context, too, you know, Lane Johnson brings him up when he's asked about the edge rushers. And then Zach Bond asked him when he's brought about, like, these players like him last year. And in this situation where he's an opportunity to really kind of elevate his game in a way that no one expects. So those seem like good signs. You know, we'll see. Obviously, he's been able to have high-level production in the NFL before. So you feel like that's possible. Just we'll see if he can actually do it. When it comes to the edge rusher position as a whole, I don't know how much of it is like they want to spend less money there. But I do think there could be something to the fact that they kind of just are viewing it more as a young man's game of a position, especially when you have all these quarterbacks in the NFL. They don't have to play Lamar Jackson a ton, but like someone like that, or someone they do have to play a ton now, Jaden Daniels, these guys who can run around and create and make things happen. And when you have these edge rushers who might not be like as good in an era where, you know, you have more pocket passers, they're maybe not the most pure pass rushers, but guys who can kind of like run around and chase. I think those guys like have more value in today's NFL. I think you see that with Jalen Hurts. You see that with Nolan Smith, obviously, those high effort guys who are just going to run around and kind of be the answer for those players who can kind of create out of structure. So that's kind of been my pet theory on it.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how the edge rushers do this year. It is interesting, BLJ. I think the one interesting thing I look to is like they had the best defense in football last year, and their leading sack guy was 8.5. You know, like if I told somebody that before the season, you'd probably have been like, yeah, they're probably going to have a big sack, you know, big sack artist. That's not really what's given the Eagles the advantage. So I do think John might be onto something with their zigging when everybody's zagging at the edge rusher. BLG, I want to ask you about QB1, Jalen Hurts. All reports so far have been look sharp, very sharp this spring. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. What do you think about that? And then what have you seen personally from Jalen Hurts so far through the spring?
Yeah, I think it beats the alternative. And, you know, last year he didn't have a great spring, I would say. And then I don't know how much that mattered because then he looked better, I think, in training camp. Obviously, only had, what, one interception all of training camp. But then the regular season started and, you know, things weren't so smooth. And for exactly. the season. So it's hard to.
Which might show you it's all bullshit, BLG.
Maybe, but don't say that because obviously we got to talk about it.
I can't blow our cover here.
You got to pay attention. No, I think in seriousness, I do think that him looking comfortable is good, especially because, you know, it's another new play caller and he looks decisive. And I think part of it too is just that he's maturing as both a player and a person. And he is a better practice player, I think, now, certainly, than he was a few years ago or even last year. You know, like, is it the most, you know, impressive stretch of practices I've seen ever? I don't know. But because a lot of these throws, I think, aren't like the most high level of difficulty. But that's okay because he's taking what's there. I think for the most part, he's making good, quick decisions, which is something that I harp on a lot, especially in the practice setting in the past. I would really get bothered when Jalen Hurts would be in 7-on-7 and there'd be multiple reps where he's not even throwing the ball and basically taking the sack.
Well, that's I agree, BLG. It would drive me crazy. I'm like, it's 7-on-7. Yeah, just get the ball. That's what I love about McCord. It's like, bang, the ball's out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which it did frustrate me. And he hasn't been, you know, but part of it is, you know, so much of Jalen Hurts and his effectiveness is about extending plays, and you don't get that in practice because they're blowing everything dead. And you've seen it over the years. He'll get frustrated. He's like, why are you blowing this play dead? But, you know, they're blowing it dead to protect the quarterback and get to the next play. Mm-hmm. So I don't think his you know, part of his game is not really revealed in practice, I guess is how I would describe it. And I think he's getting better as a practice player, which I don't think it's the be-all, end-all, but I think it's going to make him better. Because if you do take those reps and say, all right, it's 7-on-7. Let's just play 7-on-7 and get the football out. And it's not really – I get, you know, people will make a big deal out of it. And that's part – of the, you know, Elliott deserves a tremendous amount of credit. Everybody around the league, you'll go on Twitter or X now and see, you know, Cleveland quarterback stats and everybody's doing it. Mm-hmm. And Elliott deserves credit for that. But yeah, I think, you know, Nick hates it. And I think coaches don't like it because it's not what practice is about. And, you know, if quarterbacks are worried about, oh, people are going to shit on me because I threw an interception in practice, it can be counterproductive. But I think Jalen's understanding that more. And I think, of course, he's not throwing interceptions, so maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? I hope he's not trying to be protective of the football. You're supposed to be trying stuff in practice, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But practice player, I think he's better. You?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, there's definitely a balance there. And I think that's one thing that I felt good about, or at least relatively speaking, last year in training camp, where there was all that talk about him not throwing an interception. But I would say, like, I don't think it was just because he's Sam Bradford out there and he's throwing, you know, 5-yard checkdowns every play. Like, that wasn't my view of how it was. And even though there were a lot of checkdowns in this spring training camp and more of that variety, and in fairness too, he's working, you know, with receivers who are not AJ Brown and Devontae Smith for at least those first two practices there. That's definitely a factor in it. I do think he's, again, evolved as a practice player and gotten better there. And really, you know, to practice, not practice, whatever, like the biggest thing that I think you can take away is just like this decisive, composed, in command, mature. Like those things I think resonate through and are good signs to see from a big picture standpoint.
on the back end of that is wide receiver. Devontae was there. It was good to see him. I get a kick out of people who were worried he wasn't there. That dude's not going to stop working, and he was working down in Florida, and you saw he hit the ground running. But, you know, AJ still had limited reps. He had limited reps under – nobody should be worried about those guys, but I think they're better after those guys. Terrace Marshall, man, he can play a little bit. There's clearly some talent. I think Danny Gray has shown like he's got some juice. I think Jahan Dotson is a good third receiver. The question is, what do you want? Like, I'm not a big Johnny Wilson guy, but if you want blocking and they're a run first team, he's a good guy to have around. He's a good Zach Pascal-like guy to have around. If they need a returner, we still haven't seen what Avery Williams can do. He's been hurt. Maybe Anaya Smith is still in the conversation. How does BLG weigh that? Like, if you want backup receivers, you got to keep Terrace Marshall and Danny Gray. But if you want something else, different parts of building a roster, maybe you want Johnny Wilson or Anaya Smith. How do you sort of weigh that competition?
Yeah, those are the kind of, you know, things they're going to have to weigh and will weigh for our Eagles 53-man roster predictions later this summer. Terrace Marshall definitely looks like, you know, he can play a little bit on offense. He has 14 career special team snaps. Like, that's relevant for a guy who's not going to be
part of it. He was a big star at LSU. He's not playing special teams. Yeah.
Exactly. But, I mean, he's not going to be anything more than a top, you know, the fourth receiver here, barring injury. So that guy has to play special teams. Because they're only going to keep, what, four or five receivers, maybe six active. So, you know, I look at that. That is, certainly is a question that needs to be answered. I do think generally, though, for like my stock up, stock down, Terrace Marshall stock up, Danny Gray stock up. Whereas I thought like Anaya Smith, although he had a couple catches on Tuesday, like more of a quiet spring, especially than you would like. Because I feel like that's a player who should stand out in the spring setting a little bit more maybe than some other players. Given the perceived nature of his game as a small, you know, shifty kind of slot quarterback. And then Johnny Wilson, I don't know what the deal was with him skipping OTAs or missing out on OTAs, but you would think, you know, for a second-year player, maybe looking to take on a bigger role, maybe not the best thing that he wasn't there. And then I thought he was pretty quiet in Tuesday's practice, so I'm kind of more stocked down on those guys and then stock up on the newer guys.
Yeah. How about running back? Will Shipley, I saw a little – I didn't see the overall play. I saw the very end. It looked like a jet sweep type motion. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw it where Will started. I didn't see it. And then A.J. Dillon, boy, the quads are impressive, but I don't see a ton of explosion from A.J. Dillon, which is weird for those quads. But what are your thoughts on backup running back?
Saquon Barkley, don't get hurt. that's my thought on running back. Look, I think Will Shipley is going to have, you know, that Kenny Gainwell kind of role. I do think he's going to be more involved as a pass catcher than Gainwell was. They're throwing him the ball a decent amount in practice. And obviously we've seen him be able to do that and have some success there. Last year, Kenny Gainwell had, I'm looking at here, 22 targets. So almost about like one per game. He had 16 receptions. Like, I think that number is going to be up for Will Shipley this year. I don't know how high, but I do think it's going to be above that. And he's going to be a factor there, obviously, in the maybe the two-minute drill situations and some third down situations there. I think we're going to see a little bit more of running back involved in the passing game and that him having a role there.
AJ, nothing from AJ.
Not AJ
Brown, AJ Dillon.
Yeah, made the mistake last year of putting too much stock in some of the things we did or didn't see from Saquon Barkley in the offseason. And obviously, AJ Dillon is no Saquon Barkley, but I just don't know.
True. I mean, he's a physical runner, exactly. You're not going to be able to see that.
And honestly, from what I can see from him, I don't think he's going to be a huge factor as a pass catcher, but he doesn't look like he's incapable of doing it, which, you know, some of the bigger backs typically they're not. So from what I have seen from Dillon in terms of being able to catch the ball, feel okay about that. And then as terms of running back, yeah, I just need to see the preseason games, basically.
Yeah, we'll see what ends up happening there. BLG, the one thing I wanted to ask you about on receivers, just go back to them for a second. Do you think Marshall, Anais, Johnny, the rest of the guys are there? Do you think they're good enough to make Howie question or wonder or float out Jahan Dotson as a trade candidate this summer? I mean, he's only got 1 year left. I don't think they're going to pay him or anything. Mm-hmm. So maybe if somebody's willing to give you a pick for the guy and you feel good about what Terrace Marshall can do, you think they would make that move, or is that too far?
Yeah, I don't think so, just especially for what they gave up for him. And I think they want to see what this looks like with a full offseason of Jalen Hurts and Jahan Dotson being able to work together, and obviously not having that dynamic last year. And just, you know, the lack of trust between those two. I mean, Dotson had, what, 33 targets overall? But, like, I think he was in the 20s for Hurts specifically, since he had a lot of that production in the Week 18 game there with Tanner McKee. So, yeah, I just think you just want to get a look at that first before, you know, they would want to move on from that.
At Brandon Gouten, make sure you follow BLG on the X platform. Read him at bleedinggreennation.com. He and the staff do a tremendous job there. Center, I'll close it out there. Brett Toth. boy, man. You know, Brett's a very versatile player. He can play all five positions. But can he play all five positions? Because we went through this. I always say, and I'm glad you brought it up, that Marcus Mariota a couple of years ago was playing shortstop before he was playing quarterback with second team reps. And eventually they had to bring in Josh Andrews just to get valuable reps. if Cam Jurgens, and Cam's looking better, but if he's unable to go at the start of camp, or we just, hey, Drew Kendall, you're up. We got to get decent snaps to get valuable reps. And then Trevor Keegan might be starting to cross train a little bit at center, but he might have the same issues Brett has as a non-natural center. So just, you know, throw the rookie in there just to get some reps.
I mean, just, to be able to actually, you know, run the plays. Yeah. Like that's just the weird thing to me about this. Like, you have this guy who clearly demonstrated he couldn't do this 2 years ago. Okay, maybe he gets better in theory, but he hasn't. And you're having the same issues that you had 2 years ago. It's like, wait a minute, we saw this already. We tried this. It's not working. I know Stout likes him, but, like, they have to do something else there. I'd like to see Drew Kendall get some more chances there. I was talking to a good friend, Jimmy Kemsky, about this, and he was saying that, you know, some of the scouting reports he had read about Drew Kendall were that, like, he didn't have a bad snap. And that was noteworthy too, because he was dealing with, like, different quarterbacks at
you had Boston a big College. Tall guy and a short guy.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I would like to see some more. And that makes sense to me too, from a standpoint of, like, when you talk about the advantages of maybe being the son, you know, of a pro athlete, you know, maybe he was snapping from, like, a very young age, and it's just something he's done his whole life, as opposed to, you know, Brett Toth, who's, you know, trying to learn that. So that makes sense to me, and I do think we should see Drew Kendall get some more reps soon.
Good stuff there, BLG. Any final thoughts from me, brother, on the spring work being concluded? The mandatory day camp is officially in the rearview. Your final thoughts, brother, before we let you go? We appreciate you joining today.
Yeah, big picture. I mean, like, no drama here. You know, 100% participation, no holdouts, no hold-ins. Like, I don't think that should be taken for granted. That's a good thing. And then the most important thing, no injuries in terms of, like, that they, knock on wood, and that they suffered within these practices from what we know. No major injuries. Miles Hinton got a little banged up yesterday, but barring something major there, I mean, that's, like, the most important thing in spring practices, that you don't have no kind of catastrophic season-ending
injuries. Yeah, right. Somebody goes down with an Achilles or something like that. Yeah.
So they avoided those things, and the vibe seemed good. I think that's, like, that's a win for the Eagles' off-season workout program.
And what's your biggest concern? Sneak that in as you go off into a five-week dead period.
Yeah, I think my biggest concern is that, just, like, generally, like, some of these replacement things we're talking about are just, maybe we're glossing it over a little bit, just from the standpoint of they won the Super Bowl. Give them the benefit of the doubt. They've earned the benefit of the doubt, very much so. But then, you know, training camp rolls around. Maybe some of those issues expose themselves. Week one rolls around. And certainly, you know, a grace period goes away quick, as we saw when the last time the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Here's mine. I'll give you mine real quick. Tyler Steen, week one starter. Mm. I think Matt Pryor, week four starter. Wow. There's my prediction.
There you go. I like that one, Johnny, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff. BLJ, thank you for joining. Make sure you guys follow him at Brandon Gatlin and read all his work at bleedinggreennation.com. BLJ, thank you, brother. We appreciate it, man.
See you guys.
Thanks, bud. Thanks,
BLJ, joining us here on Birds 365. Great show. John, show flew by today. Already 9:55. Can't believe the show is over already. Two great guests, Mike Gill and Brandon Lee Gatlin. Some great takeaways on the mandatory mini camp. That was one day long. Johnny Mack, your final thoughts here. We've got 5 minutes left on the show. What you think of what BLG had to say, takeaways from what he saw out there in at the day camp?
Yeah, I mean, I think we started with Kaylee Ringo, Jalex Hunt, a couple of young players that are expected to take a big step forward. I think there was a lot of positives yesterday with both those players, and I think, you know, it's going to be a big part of the Eagles season because I don't think they're looking for outside help at those positions because they like the upside of those two particular players. And I'm surprised. I'm not quite as down on the safety spot as BLG seemed. I think Makuba's ultimately going to be fine. A little concerned about the size and how he holds up. But I think most of it's been positive around him. And then it's easy to downplay the linebacker issues, but I'm a little more concerned than most because I think there's a lot of uncertainty as when both Jihad and Nakobe are going to be ready. But, you know, as long as Zach Bond's there, you should be okay.
Yeah, a lot of projection, a lot of speculation there. I do agree with that. I will say BLG is a little more optimistic this offseason. Maybe more from a macro, obviously, because the Birds were successful. But good to hear BLG with a little bit of optimism here on the show. Do I have any super?